Why don't we pray and then we'll open up our Bibles and get to work. God, we thank you for being good to us. We thank you for loving us. Thank you for your word. I thank you, God, that as we look at Jesus, we are challenged because we see what we are not. But we're inspired because something in us says that's what we should be and that's what we want to be like. So God, I pray that you would, as we look at Jesus this morning, that you would wake up our hearts to want to know you and love you and be like you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's something. We're in Mark 12, but go back to Mark 1. I want to look at something that Mark repeats, and then we'll tie it into Mark 12. There's something that Mark repeats that is a characteristic of Jesus. And anytime Mark repeats something, if you've been reading through the chapters as we've gone through Mark, anytime Mark repeats something, it's weird. It's a rarity. It doesn't happen very often. So you have to kind of stop and say, okay, why is he repeating this? Because he just moves really fast-paced through things, and he doesn't stop and summarize or give a look back at anything. He just keeps going. So when he repeats things, it's significant. And he repeats something that if you read Matthew or some of the other Gospels, you'll see that they repeat a ton more. So it's an important something. It's a characteristic of Jesus. And the reason I want to look at it is because this is the characteristic of Jesus that is so different from us, and it's something that we don't have. We have glimpses of it in ourselves, but for the most part, this does not tend to characterize who we are as people, who I am. Let's start by looking at Jesus, and then we'll look at ourselves. Mark 1:40. A leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling, said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with, what's the word your Bible says? Compassion, yes. Mine says pity, but compassion. Compassion or pity. Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will, be clean." Jump over to chapter 6, verse 34. When he went ashore, so he was in a boat, when he got out of the boat, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Moved with compassion, he healed the guy. He saw the people, and he had compassion on them. Go one more, chapter 8, verse 1 through 3. In those days, when again a great crowd had gathered, they had nothing to eat. He called his disciples and said to them, I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. Three times it repeats this characteristic of Jesus. And I haven't done an exhaustive study, but I don't think Mark repeats anything else. I mean, he doesn't, and he repeats this, though. And there might be other examples. Again, I didn't do an exhaustive study of this particular repetition, but he at least three times calls our attention to this characteristic of Jesus' nature, compassion. Compassion. What's compassion? I like to define things by what they aren't. And so what is compassion, the opposite of compassion, normally look like in us? The opposite of compassion, what does that normally look like in our lives? It normally looks like when we're around other people and they bother us, we see what's going on? We see their issues, their messiness in their lives, maybe their obnoxiousness in their character, the way the stuff that just gets under our skin, like, I just don't like that person. I don't, they bother me. They took my parking place and then glared at me. Why the glare? When people bother us, they don't smile. They don't. They talk about us. They're angry. They're whatever it is. The way your boss treats you, the stuff about other people that gets under your skin, and some of us hide it more than others, but other people's messiness tends to bother us. So some of us react to that by kind of separating ourselves from people. Maybe you're kind of like that. You're like, people really don't bother me. Well, yeah, it's because you're never around people. You partition your life off, and you don't give people a chance to bother you. Or maybe you're on the other side and you're very conscious that people bother you because you're always around people. But the more we're around people, the more that they bother us. Why? Because their character defects and the way they are and their sin and their messiness kind of seeps over, and it bothers us. Well, why does it bother us? Because we don't have compassion. See, the lack of compassion is having grace for my own problems. What's grace? Understanding. Saying, oh, yeah, I get why that's going on. I'm going to give you a pass on this one. I do things and say things to people, and I, right away, I don't think badly of myself because I know what's going on. It's like, well, I was kind of snapping at my kids, but I mean, I'm having a hard day, and it's hot outside, and I was just outside working the grill, and then I came in, and then it's just, there's a really good reason I shouldn't have snapped at them, but we give ourselves grace. Other people, you snap at me, I don't instantly think, well, they drove in from out of town, and it's a hot day, and so then I said, well, why are you treating me like that? See, I don't give you grace for your ickiness and your character, but I give myself quite a bit of grace. I can be not a very nice person, and many times I am. And there's a perfectly logical explanation, and I give myself a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance and many more chances than I would give you before I kind of cut you off and say, okay, I'm going to put some space there because they just don't. They don't get it. They don't know how to treat people. They're never going to change. How many chances do you give yourself to change and to leave a bad habit? Compared to how many chances do you give someone else before you just kind of write them off and say, "Ah, oh, that's just the way they are. They're never going to change." That's the opposite of compassion. That's not having compassion on other people. Compassion is having grace. It's not ignoring other people's problems. If you look at what Jesus, when he said he had compassion and he said, "Oh, you guys are okay. I understand why you're far from God." No, he started to teach them. It's not ignoring other people's problems, but it's looking at the person behind the problem, and it's seeing, and we'll talk about this in a minute, it's seeing the problem as a symptom of spiritual need, not as a reason why that person just annoys me and I want to stay out of their way and hopefully just not snap back at them. It's seeing the problem is a symptom of their spiritual need and their need for the Father. Compassion, define Jesus, it tends to not define us. And then we land in Mark chapter 12. And if you remember last week, we started by asking, okay, what does God really want? And we said, well, that's a good question, because if you're kind of investigating this whole relationship with God thing, it would be good to know from the front, okay, what is it that God really wants from me? Is it that I attend the right church and believe the right things and do the right stuff? Or what is it that God really, really wants for me? The biggest thing that I can't miss, what is it? And Jesus answers that question. Someone comes to him, and this is one of the few times that someone came to Jesus towards the end of his life and asked a question and actually wanted an answer. Most of the time people came to him with these questions like, can God make a rock so big that he can't move it, trying to trap him and trick him up so that they could have a reason to accuse him and eventually kill him, which is what they ended up doing. And this time, a guy came to Jesus and actually wanted to know the answer to his question. And he had a conversation with Jesus. And in this question, Jesus tells us what God actually wants from us. It's a helpful question. It's a good answer. And we need to hear this, especially if you've been around church stuff for a long time. We need to remind ourselves, what is it God really wants from us? So, let's read what Jesus says. And one of the scribes, verse 28, Mark 12, 28, one of the scribes came up, one of the religious leaders, heard them disputing with one another, seeing that he, Jesus, answered them well. So he saw that he had a good answer. He asked him, he had a question he wanted answered, which commandment is the most important of all? Jesus answered, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. We have one God. We don't have a whole bunch of idols. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. At this point, had he answered the guy's question? That was the easy question of the day. They're going to get harder after that. Yes, he had answered. The guy said, what's the most important thing? Jesus said, here's the most important thing. And then he kept going, though. It's almost like for Jesus, there was something else that went so closely to loving God that you couldn't separate it out. You can't love God without this. They're closely tied together. They're really two commandments, but they go as a pair. You can't have one without the other. It's like an egg and a yolk. You can't have the egg white without the egg. You just got to have them both together. And so then Jesus said, the second is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. shall love your neighbor as yourself. Shall love your neighbor as yourself. And compassion, having compassion for people, this characteristic that Jesus had of looking at other people's issues and messiness and ickiness in their character, and instead of being like, ugh, I don't like that person. Ugh, they're always going to be like that. They have problems. Instead of being like that, he felt for them and he said, I want to help them. He saw their ickiness as a need. Having that attitude is at the very heart of love. And Jesus says that loving God is the most important first commandment, and loving others is the second commandment. And you can't have one without the other. And so if you and I look inside our hearts and we see kind of a lack of compassion towards other people, and we are able to be honest and see how we kind of look down on people who aren't like us, who have more problems than us, who have more issues than us, however many issues you have, people with more issues, they're bad people, they're badder people, they're not as good as... If you can look inside and see that, and you're bothered by other people's anger and irritableness and issues, but not by your own, the lack of compassion... And Jesus says, well, actually, that is the second biggest thing that God wants. Number one and number two, love God and then love other people. That's an issue for us because having compassion is love, and love is having compassion. It's the same thing. Love is not doing a lot of things for other people. Maybe that's how it looks on the outside. Because what did Jesus say? When he had compassion, what did he do? He ended up healing, he ended up teaching, he ended up helping, he ended up giving food. But love, having compassion or love is not doing a lot of things for other people. It starts with how you feel towards other people. And wait till the end of the message, because it comes out in very practical ways. But it starts with how you feel for other people. It starts with your attitude towards other people. It starts with what's in your heart towards the other person. It's not, I helped that guy, and I think he's a scumbag, and I think there's no hope for him, but oh well, I helped him. That's not love. That's doing something nice, but it's not love. Love is having compassion. You see Mark 1:41 where Jesus said, moved by compassion. The thing that started in Jesus' heart was love towards this guy. It was compassion. It affected his motives. He wasn't helping the people so that he could be seen as being this great person who helped other people. He was helping the people because he felt something for them. He was moved with compassion for them. He had love in his heart for them. And that affected his motives and affected what he did. We're supposed to love other people. And how do we love then? If that's the big thing we're supposed to do, how do we do it? What I wanted to do to answer that question is not make up a definition of love. I wanted to go back and look at Jesus and say, okay, if Jesus was the person who the Bible says over and over again was moved by love, was moved by compassion, how did that look for Jesus? And then see if we can imitate that in our lives. So what does it look like for Jesus to love people? Well, when he saw their needs, he did something about it. He felt compassion for them. He saw their needs as a symptom of what they really needed. He saw their anger as a symptom of something deeper in their heart. He saw their being far from God as a symptom of something in their soul. And instead of being bothered by it, he saw it as an invitation and a responsibility from God to help them. That's really, really, really big. Because the more that you get closer to God, the more God will change you, and the more that he will make you like himself and like his son, and the more that you will stop being like the person that you were before, and the more you will change, and the more you will become a better person, a redeemed, sanctified person, a person who's more like the Father, and then our human pride will always be there ready to kick in and make us, and the more we become like Jesus, the more that our pride will tempt us to feel superior to other people and to look down on other people. And that's not what Jesus did. He saw their needs as a reason to help them. So practically speaking, what did that look like? Well, look at chapter 6, verse 34. He saw the crowd. He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. It's like they were lost. And what did he do? He began to teach them many things. Jesus' love, Jesus' compassion, what he felt for people, moved him in a practical way to feel an eternal urgency for them, to feel the need for them to be connected to the Father. Instead of him saying, "Those people, look at how they are. I'm so glad I'm not like them. Maybe someday something will happen and they'll change." He was moved by his love, by his compassion, what he felt, to connect them to the Father. And I think that is the biggest, you know, we could talk about evangelism and sharing our faith and taking the cards home and inviting people, and you really should do that and make us all feel guilty because, you know, we should talk about Jesus more to other people. That's not where it starts. Where it starts is you and I looking at the people in our lives, the people who live around us, and the people that work with us, and the people that play on the teams with us, and the people that go to school with us, and our family members, and feeling something for them, not just being bothered by their obnoxiousness, but seeing their spiritual need, and instead of being bothered, feeling compassion and feeling an urgency for them to be connected to the Father, because that's what Jesus felt. Because instead of just doing whatever, he started teaching them how to be connected to the Father. And the only way that you and I are going to be people who help other people get connected to the Father, the only way that you and I are authentically going to invite people here, the only way that you and I are authentically going to open our homes and open our lives to people who are far from God and become friends, authentic friends with people far from the Father, and the only way that we're going to get up the courage to ask people to read the Bible with us and could I please, please, please tell you about how to have a relationship with God, the only way that we're going to have the courage to talk to people and say, okay, where are you at with all this? To have that conversation, where are you at with your relationship with the Father? Have you made the decision to enter into the kingdom, to repent and be baptized? The only way that we're going to do those things is if we feel love and if we feel compassion for them, and if we see the messiness in their lives not as something I have to protect my kids from, and it sure annoys me, and I hope that that doesn't contaminate my perfect life. No, if when we see messiness in other people's lives as a sign that, you know what, they desperately need the Father, and we are moved with compassion. And like Jesus, we look for every opportunity to tell them about the Father. That's the only way that we will help other people get closer to God, is when we are moved by compassion and moved by love, and we see their external ickiness as internal spiritual needs, and that breaks our hearts, and we want them to know the Father. That's what Jesus did. He had an urgency for helping other people know God, and that urgency came from his compassion for them. He loved them. God wasn't up in heaven saying, "Jesus, have you talked to anybody about yourself today? You got to get on that evangelism thing." He was moved by compassion. He was moved by love. Go forward a couple of chapters. There's two ways, big ways, that compassion came, that love came out of Jesus. One was this eternal urgency for people's souls, and the other was practically helping them. We have to look at both, because Christian people, people who try to follow God, tend to fall more on one side or the other. There's Christian groups that are more known for always talking about Jesus to people, doing the studies, and there's other Christian groups who are more known for giving things away and helping, and they're just generous people, and they help everybody in a physical way. And what Jesus did is he brought both of those together, and he was physically generous with people. He helped people with their physical needs because of compassion, and he helped people with their spiritual needs because of compassion. And for us to truly love people, to obey the second commandment, to love our neighbor as ourselves, we have to combine the two. We have to be people who feel compassion and feel the needs that other people have and love them enough that we talk to them about Jesus, and enough that we sacrifice ourselves and we sacrifice our economic state to help them. We have to do both. Look at chapter 8, verse 1. In those days, when a great crowd had gathered, and they had nothing to eat, he called his disciples to him and said to them, "I have compassion on the crowd, because they have been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat." Now, how did that end in chapter 6? He began to teach them Well, this one, he didn't. He didn't pull out a Bible and start preaching to them. What did he do? He miraculously made dinner for everybody. He helped them physically. He was moved by their physical need, not to say, oh, I'm sure glad I got my house paid off. I'm sure glad I got a car. Poor guy has to drive his bike everywhere. He was moved by with compassion to help them physically. That's what compassion is supposed to do in our hearts when we see other people's needs, their physical needs and their character needs, their spiritual needs. It's supposed to, instead of igniting within us this kind of disdain, this, I think I'm better than them and I'm sure glad I am, it's supposed to ignite within us a love and a compassion that says, I want to connect them with the Father because that's what they need more than anything else. And I'll do whatever it takes. I'll sacrifice my Friday nights and my Saturday nights to hang out with people who don't know the Father because I want them to get connected with the Father. And I will meet people's physical needs because that's part of having love and compassion and showing the Father's love. So that's what Jesus did. And I don't know about you, but when I look inside, that's not how I'm normally bent. That's not how my normal reaction to other people, feeling compassion, feeling a spiritual urgency for them, wanting to be generous. That doesn't just naturally come out of me. How do we get there? What takes us to become the kind of person that does that, that feels that way, and then acts that way, and to live lives that are moved by compassion? Look at 1 John 4:19. Here John makes something explicit that is implicit, that's implied in Mark 12. You notice how Jesus tied together? The guy said, what's the one commandment? And Jesus tied them both together, love God and love other people, almost as if you're in a relationship with the Father, you will love other people. He implies that there's something connected with that to the point where you can't do one without the other. And then John comes and he makes that very, very clear, saying that actually is true to the point where what was read in the scripture reading, if you say you love God and you don't love other people, newsflash, you don't love God. You don't have the love of God in your heart. Wow, that's kind of, in 1 John, that's kind of John's code for saying you might not even be a Christian. You're not connected with the Father. You don't have God's love in your heart. You can't have one without the other. So look at 4:19. Very short. We love. Why? Because he first loved us. God pours his love into our hearts. And if when we are connected with the Father, when we are God's children, he pours his love into our hearts. And the reason we are not just supposed to, but are able to feel compassion towards other people when we see their needs, feel grace towards them, instead of being annoyed by other people's character flaws, be moved to compassion. The reason why we can, not just should, the reason why we are able to, is because God has done that same thing for us. He looked at you and he looked at me and he saw our character flaws and he saw our issues. He saw our not character flaws, our open rebellion against him. He saw us say, God, stay over there. I want to live my life and make my own decisions. And he was moved to compassion and he said, that's not going to end well. I want you to be my child. And he called us and he said, and he made something alive in our hearts and he made us come to him and he saved us. And he made us want to know him. He made us want to love him. And he made us want to make the decision, okay, I'm all in. I'm going to repent and be baptized and follow Jesus. That's he did that in us. And now we're able to turn to other people and love them because that's what God has done for us. No matter how bad that person is treating you or how noxious they are, you're much worse than the Father's eyes. And he loved you. He gave you grace. So John said, okay, we're able to do that for other people because the Father's done that for us. Even with physical needs, why are we able to love people and give to them physically, give them generously with money and time and things? Why? Because everything we have is a gift from the Father. We've been loaned everything. And the more we get that, the more we could see other people's needs, be moved with compassion and say, it's not mine anyway. I could give that to you because I've been given this. We love because he first loved us. That's how we're able to love. It's how we should be able to love and why. So what do we do with this, practically speaking? Two applications. Let one hit you, because one's for one group and one's for another. If you haven't decided to follow Jesus, that's the first group. If you haven't made the decision yourself to repent and be baptized, your own personal decision to follow Jesus, here's the deal. God expects you to love other people, but you have not received the full expression of the Father's love. You receive the full expression of the Father's love when you become his child. You become his child when you decide to follow his first son, Jesus, by repenting and being baptized. And when you make that decision, God brings you into his family, and he pours out his love on you and in your heart. And he loves you, and he gives grace to you, and he overlooks your faults and your sins. And in fact, he transfers them over to his son, and he pays the price for those, and you become clean and spotless and blameless and pure and perfect in your Father's eyes. You become God's adopted, forgiven child. And the only way that you and I will ever really be able to love other people and feel true compassion towards other people is when we've received true compassion from the Father. And so for you, if you've never made that decision, for you today, that is the decision. It's, I want to become God's child. I want to repent and be baptized and enter into that because I want to receive the Father's love. And then you will know that that will transform. Even if you're a very loving person right now, that will just transform the way that you are able to treat other people. So if you haven't made that decision, and when you're ready to make that decision, tell one of the men here. You can repent and be baptized and become God's child. If you have made that decision, okay, normally I give a little application to Christians and we're done. I saved some time at the end for this. Actually, I didn't. It just worked out that way. There is a very high calling for you if you're God's child. Very, very high calling for you. We are not called to be slightly better versions, slightly more loving versions of what we were before. We are called to be like our Father, to love because he first loved us. We are called to mirror his love to the world. So I want you to think about your life, if you would. I want you to think about the people in your life. I want to ask you a few questions. I would ask that you would let the Holy Spirit kind of let this settle in your soul and direct you towards how you need to apply this week. Who is someone that bothers you? Who they are, the messiness, their irritableness, their whatever, something about them, they bother you. They're part of your life. God's put them in part of your life. They're family. They live with you. They work with you. They're part of your life, and they bother you. Who are they? Your task with them is to ask the Holy Spirit to give you compassion and to look for something practical that you can do for that person. Something practical, just a way to extend, have a cup of coffee with them, something, do something with them, and ask the Spirit to change your heart towards them so instead of feeling irritated by them, you start feeling compassion for them. So that you start feeling the desire that you want them to be connected with the Father. Who in your life, second question, who in your life is not connected with the Father? Okay, so you're a Christian, and there's someone in your life who's not connected with the Father, and if you were very honest in this moment, you'd say, I really don't feel a lot of urgency. Like, you gotta tell them. I have one more thing I can do today. I gotta talk to them about Jesus. You don't feel a lot of urgency. You know that eventually, you know, you're praying for them and it'll happen. And you don't feel urgency for that person. Who is that person? Compassion and love would move you to do something, to talk to them, to prayerfully say, God, how do I open my mouth and say something about you and try to draw them into a relationship with you? So who is that person and what can and what should you do? If you felt urgency, to feel urgency, and to help them be connected to the Father. Third question, last question. Who's in your life that you can help in a physical way, like time, money, things, that you can help with physical needs? And the task is simple. Do something practical for that person. Why do we do this? Remember, it's not to be better people. It's because we've received so much from the Father, and we're supposed to overflow with that to others. So, what's your next step? What are you going to do? What's your next step or your next steps? And what are you going to do this week? Why don't we pray and then we'll sing. God, we thank you because you have first loved us. And we're challenged today because when we see your love for us, and then we look around and we know you want us to love other people. And when we're honest, that just is so difficult to do. God, I pray that you'd fill our hearts with grace and that you would move us to compassion and that we would feel compassion for the people around us. And their character flaws would move us to feel compassion and move us to feel an urgency for wanting them to be connected with you. And that would move us to action, would move us to speak about you. I pray that you would change our hearts, God. I pray as we see people's physical needs, that it would move us with compassion and that we would do something for them. I pray that you would change our hearts, God. Make us more like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.